I was part of a fifth grade experience that included a long overnight bus trip and a 3-day stay in our nation's capital. Now, years removed from that experience, much of it remains vivid in my memory. It was, for example, the first time I'd ventured into the Smithsonian. I still recall one thing there that completely captivated my attention. A 54-foot-long steel cable extended from the fourth floor of the American History Museum through an opening 3 floors down. On it was hung a 240-pound brass bob that swung slowly back and forth, just above the floor. On the floor were a series of red markers. They lined the perimeter of an inlaid compass rose, demonstrating the rotation of the earth. The cable swung in place until, due to the axial rotation, it neared one of the red markers. Drawing closer and closer, it would at last upend the marker before continuing on its motion to and fro. Getting as close as the small barrier would allow, we crouched down to watch, in line with the massive bob. We saw it draw near, then venture off, come back, and then move out again. It was a mesmerizing motion that, when watched long enough, rewarded us with the toppling of another red marker. Part of it was the purely visual spectacle. Part was the truth it imparted, that the seemingly fixed earth upon which we were crouching was in fact in perpetual motion, whirling in its azure beauty through a dark universe. Back and forth, in and out, close to and far away. Such was the natural rhythm, something magnificently satisfying to a 10-year-old boy crouched down to watch it at close range. It is that rhythm, that same sort of back and forth rhythm, that makes for a deep, meaning-filled, engaged, and engaging life. Such is our claim here for each of us individually and for all of us collectively. Where our personal lives are concerned, we might imagine that arc, that spectrum, anchored on one end by spiritual depth and on the other by social action. Moving. Can you sense it? Moving between spiritual deepening, spiritual grounding, spiritual renewal, and social action, social engagement, our work, whatever that may be, enacted in the name of making the world a better place. Where our life as a congregation is concerned, we might think of that swing, of that movement between our aspiration to be a sanctuary and our intent to serve as a beacon. Moving. Can you sense it? Moving between a safe haven for liberal religionists, the place where we are welcomed and heard, respected, included, cared for, and nurtured, and our intent to be one of many points of light, shining forth in the name of healing, justice, equity, possibility, opportunity, working with others, as we say, to overcome the barriers that divide the human family. This is the natural rhythm of a spiritually healthy, deep, grounded person and of a spiritually healthy, deep, grounded congregation. The movement back and forth is complementary. It's all of a piece. One end of the ark flowing naturally into and out from the other. So as we ground ourselves spiritually, it inspires and informs how we work in the larger community. And as we engage in the larger community, we return to find our spiritual understandings altered, transformed. We are deepened further. We see this rhythm reflected in the lives of certain spiritual exemplars. The Buddha, as a young man, was sequestered. He was cut off. He was protected entirely from any awareness of suffering. But once his safe sanctuary was breached, once he came to understand that there is suffering in the world, he could not stay in his own quiet setting. And so the arc of his life moved outward into a search for a deeper sense of meaning. That search engaged actively, then flowed back into deep stillness, into focused contemplation, into enlightenment. The Christian gospeler Luke records an intensely engaged level of activity on Jesus' part, attending to suffering in many different forms. And right in the middle of the account of that ministry, it reports, but he would withdraw to deserted places to pray. A kind of praying with a heart for the whole world. And then he would return again. His work informed by his praying, newly resolved to trouble those who were oppressors and to comfort those who were oppressed. Those great courage mothers, Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, both attributed the capacity to act with valor to their spiritual grounding, to which they frequently retreated in prayer. And in praying, they heard anew the call to the daring work of liberation. So too with their contemporary progeny, like Asada Shakur, who urges, your real power is within you. Stay healthy and balanced every day. And even Ta-Nehisi Coates, self-professed secularist, who speaks of our need for a, quote, national reckoning that would lead to spiritual renewal. In a world that is, as Wordsworth famously put it, that is too much with us, we need time out, time away, time to renew, time to refill, time to replenish our capacities to act with compassion. Recently, I've noticed two women in our congregation bending tenderly to fragile flowers growing along the pathways outside my office windows. In this searing heat, they are sustaining beauty by offering regular replenishment in the form of water gently dispensed each morning. That's what spiritual deepening can be for us. The nourishing, the refreshing, as vital to our souls as water is to those flowers. Life is hard, admitted the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in eulogizing those beautiful little girls killed in a church bombing. Life is hard. At times as hard as crucible steel. It has bleak and difficult moments, like the ever-flowing waters of the river. Life has its moments of drought. Who of us does not know that in these days? It's hard. It's hard to pay attention. It's hard to stay involved. It's hard to keep caring. It's hard to keep hearing and seeing and experiencing so much injustice, so much violence, so much suffering, so much frustration, so much hostility. Life parches us, parches our souls. We get dry and dusty. That's why we need this sanctuary. My beloved wife, about whom I can talk since she is away celebrating with family. My beloved wife is one of the most inspiring activists I know. She walks with courage into places of such challenge and sits with compassion with people who can be so challenging. I'm not talking about at home. I'm talking about in here. You kill her about that. Melissa said to me one day with fierce clarity, "I don't need to come to worship to be confronted with one more thing that I should be doing." I need it to reconnect me with a source that will enable me to keep doing it. I need it to remind me that other people care like I do. I need it to renew my hopes and sustain me for another week so that I can go back out and do what I do, believing somehow that along with everything else that everyone else is doing, we can make, we are making a difference. That, my friends, that is the sanctuary we create together. That's why we call upon and commit resources. In order to carve out this clearing in the forest of our lives where we can retreat, where we can let down our guard, where we can feel whatever we feel, where we can laugh and cry and sing and pray and receive through this shared experience something that is renewing and sustaining and nurturing and that will enable us to go back out there into a life that is hard. Even when life is hard, declared King, and he used the language of his heart, language most of us can translate into the language of our hearts. Even when life is hard, if we will hold on, he said, we will discover that God walks with us and that God is able to lift you from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope and transform dark and desolate valleys into sunlit paths of inner peace. To resist becoming despondent, apathetic, antagonistic, we must have a well from which we can draw. We must have a way to continue being called back to the best of who we are. Must have ways of experiencing beauty amidst pain, finding laughter in the midst of tears, singing songs of praise along with dirges and the blues. The pendulum swings in close. We go deep, individually in personal spiritual disciplines and collectively in worship, in discover groups, in acts of care for one another. And we are renewed. However, spirituality is never just private. Spirituality is never simply individual, never only about my personal well-being. The quenching flow is not for our own personal benefit. The spiritual approach was as useless as any other, warns John A. Powell. If you soaked it up like a sponge and kept it to yourself. Remember the pendulum? It must swing out again. Frei Betu has been one of the leading major voices for social justice in Latin America. A Dominican friar from Brazil, he has been a political prisoner and has lived as an activist with the poorest of the poor. He writes, "Spirituality is not about the satisfaction of my ego. Spirituality gives one the capacity to love others more, especially those who are most needy. For my spiritual liberation, for my realization, it's necessary that I love those around me. Fray Beto names the arc, the movement outward, informed by spirituality, enacted beyond the sanctuary that becomes a beacon. He asserts, I find no value in a spirituality that does not lead to the liberation of the oppressed. I believe in a spirituality that returns to make the entire world a place of harmony and fraternity. And this means a fight. A fight against injustice. A spirituality that remains private is little more than self-indulgence. A sanctuary whose doors do not swing outward is little more than a place of privilege. There is no deep spiritual engagement that does not lead into some kind of deep action. But even the notion that they are separate, sequential, spirituality leading to action and action back to spirituality, is inaccurate. You see, the ark is all of a piece. Its movement unbroken. So John A. Powell explains, the engagement with the suffering of others is a way to know and claim our spirituality. This is a call for self and world making and the bridge between them. In our liberating religion, we make no ultimate distinction between the spiritual and the social. For us, working with others to overcome the barriers is a spiritual act. It is spirituality. Social justice is spirituality. Striving, as we say, striving for peace, justice, equity in our hearts, in our interpersonal relationships, in our community, in our world, these are spiritual acts. We make false distinctions whenever we claim to be more interested in either spirituality or social justice, being a sanctuary or being a beacon. Such things, that whole arc, it's all of a piece, indivisible into this and that. You remember that observation from the ancient sage Lao Tzu? If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace among neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. But it works the other way also. The arc leading from peace in the heart outward to peace in the world leads, it swings back. Meaning, if there is to be peace in my heart, if there is to be peace in your heart, there must be peace in the home. And if there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace between neighbors. And if there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in this city. There must be peace in this city. And if there is to be peace in this city, in these days, in these troubled days, if there is to be peace in this city, there must be peace in the nations. And if there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the whole world. It is my experience, writes that spiritual activist Joanna Macy, that the world itself has a role to play in our liberation. Its very pressures, its very pains, its very risks can wake us up. It can release us from the bonds of ego and guide us home to our vast true nature. For some of us, she writes, for some of us, our love of the world is so passionate that we cannot ask it to wait until we are enlightened. And so the movement continues. Back and forth.